This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We bring in our good friend John McClain, the Hall of Famer, presented by HornSolutions.net. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing awesome, John. It's good to talk to you. As always, hey, John, I want to play a bit of the audio. I know you wrote a story about this answer from Nick Caserio on the Chronicle's website. You wrote a piece about this. It's caught a lot of traction from both our listening to this show and people reading your column, to the point where yesterday SportsCenter and Adam Schefter had a headline at the bottom of the screen that read, Texans GM says decision on Deshaun Watson coming before camp. Just to reset, for those who haven't heard it yet, here is Seth asking a question of Nick Caserio about the team handling Deshaun Watson's situation internally with the players.
I know you guys have to be careful with how you address the Deshaun Watson situation in the media. Have you guys addressed with the players exactly how to talk about it or what the situation is?
Yeah, I think we're taking it one day at a time, really control the things that we can control. I think the players have been focused on their attitude and their approach in the building, and they've handled it, everything, I would say, very well. So, again, we'll take it one day at a time. Again, I don't really have any additional comments about anything. I think we're respectful of what's happening. We're respectful of the process of it and everybody that's involved. So, again, the most important thing is for all of us, you know, our coaches and players, myself included, you know, is to focus on the things that we can control. And as we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, then we'll try to make, you know, the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails.
It was that last part there that that picked up the traction, where Adam Schefter is, you know, in his office there talking about Deshaun Watson with a caption of, Texans GM says decision on Deshaun Watson coming before camp. John, are they twisting Nick Caserio's words around?
Well, no, because he didn't explain what he meant. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting, too, because they don't necessarily have a decision to make unless all the legal issues were resolved and they traded him. If he comes in, that's up to him. You know, he's going to be fined $50,000 a day for every day he misses. And Roger Goodell is the only person who determines if a player is put on the commissioner's exempt list. And it doesn't matter if the team wants him there. Doesn't matter if the player wants him there. That's up to Goodell. And that's a possibility for him to put him on the exempt list while the investigation continues. And the Texans, you know, I don't know what decision. There's only one decision. No, there's three decisions. When do they trade him? Where do they trade him? And how much do they get? And they're not going to trade him until those legal issues are resolved.
Well, John, I suppose one decision that would need to be made if training camp rolled around and Roger Goodell has not done anything yet, then by contract, Deshaun Watson is contractually obligated to show up at training camp or start sustaining fines. I suppose there's a decision to make if Deshaun Watson were to show up at the building. Is there a decision for the Texans to make as to whether or not they want him around the team?
Well, what do they do if they don't want him around?
Well, send him home, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
you can't do that. You know, they could suspend him on their own. Teams don't generally do that. Mm-hmm. They let the league do it. And he could come in and develop an injury, like, say, he hurt his back. They could put him on injured reserve for the season and pay him. And they could cut him I mean, they're not going to cut him. How stupid would that be?
Well, John, John, not to interrupt you, but even a micro decision like, okay, he shows up at the building. Now, does David Culley give him the snaps at the first team quarterback? Or what do you, you know what I mean? Like, if Deshaun shows up at the building, there is a decision to be made by the team of some sort, whether he's practicing or not. You know what I mean? There's a decision to be made that people will be talking about.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what he was talking
about. Yep.
There. On the practice field, all of a sudden, yeah.
All right, we got to get John. John's connection is bad, so we got to.
The other question.
Sorry.
That's all right.
No, that was a hot.
Yeah.
Are you here, John?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Your connection's all over the place.
Now, John, the other.
It's bad right now. You want me to go off and come back?
No, you're good right now. Go ahead, yeah. Seth.
John, what as I understand it, and tell me if I've got this wrong. The team actually has. They've got the decision. They have the discretion as to whether they fine him during training camp. But then once the league year or once the season starts, then they have to fine him no matter what. Is there a chance that because of the legal situation, if Deshaun were to stay home / hold out / whatever they want to call it, that the Texans would waive the fines?
Well, I don't know why they would waive $50,000 a day. I know they could do it mini camp and
all right, we got John, we got to reconnect you. It's really choppy. We're going to Ben work on that with John. We got to reconnect John cuz it's very choppy right now. Seth, the July 27th is the date, and that is people are going to be talking about that date if the commissioner hasn't done anything with Deshaun Watson yet, if he hasn't put him on that commissioner's exempt list.
And as far as the actual, it's not clear that they would have the option to waive those fines during training camp either. I've gotten conflicting information on that for some
reason. Seth, what I've always heard, and I didn't know if you'd heard something. Always heard that they can no longer forgive of the fines.
Yeah, and then I read in one article that they can forgive him during training camp, but not during the regular season. But let's just go with it that they can't waive him during training camp.
Yep.
So that's not a decision other than, I guess, perhaps the decision for the Texans could be just not doing anything at all. I mean, it's a decision to not do anything and not to trade him.
Right.
And I think that's financially, that's probably the best decision to make, especially if he's holding out.
We've got John McClain is back and reconnected. John, what was your reaction to Tua Tagovailoa throwing 5 picks at Dolphins minicamp yesterday?
I've thought all along if there was a team that Watson should want to be traded to, it should be Miami, with the Dolphins coming off a 10-6 record, people expecting them to compete for a wild card and maybe challenge Buffalo in the AFC East because they do have a lot of talent and he does spend some time there. Although most of the time Watson is back home in Georgia working with his quarterback guru, Quincy Avery. But going back to the fines, I wouldn't think that the Texans would be forgiving any fines. He would have been fined if he had missed the mini camp had they had it. And some people were speculating they didn't have the mini camp, so they wouldn't have to fine him. Well, they could have forgiven the fines if they wanted to, but that wasn't what the plan was. So if he comes back, can you imagine what a circus it'll be at training camp if he's out on the field? But I do not expect that to be the case.
David Mulligetta, his agent, represented Jalen Ramsey when Jalen Ramsey was playing for the Jaguars and did not want to be playing for the Jaguars. And Jalen Ramsey had a mysterious back injury at one point during the season. It seemed to a lot of people on the outside that Jalen Ramsey was making it really, really hard for the Jaguars to want to keep him. Could you see Deshaun Watson using those same tactics? Not holding out, but I guess generally making a nuisance of himself, which I'll tell you, John, Sean and I have talked about it. Deshaun's got a different personality than Jalen Ramsey. I can't see him actually doing that.
I couldn't either, Seth. Jalen Ramsey's always been very outspoken, controversial at times. Like so many other Jaguars, he wanted out. He didn't get the money he wanted. And Mulligetta did a great job of orchestrating his exit to a playoff team that paid a lot of money to get him. And then the Rams gave him a huge contract, and they were happy. He played great. Went to the, was voted to the Pro Bowl again, and all pro, and it was a tremendous move. And one of the things the NFL doesn't want is agents being able to orchestrate where players go, like in the NBA. The last thing they want is to be like the NBA and have agents directing players to a team that helped them win a championship. So I'm sure since Watson wants out, they'd like to get him to a team where he wants to go. The thing about Denver, I don't know why he wants to go to the Broncos. And but, you know, Kareem Jackson says he wants to go there. Maybe he's talking to other players, telling them, hey, get me there. I would think at this point, Watson just like to be gone from Houston and get started with a new team, no matter who that was. And I'd be really surprised if he exercised his no trade power to keep a trade from happening when he'd be losing a lot of money here, unless he's on the exempt list.
Mm, that's interesting, John. Did you feel that same way about him invoking his no trade clause before all the legalities, all the legal situation came up? Have you felt that strongly that he wouldn't use his no trade clause before?
No, I thought back then that he'd be traded before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that since they had multiple teams trying to get him, that maybe he would. But now, considering how much his money it's going to cost him, and another thing to keep in mind, you know, his base salary is 10.5. You don't collect that till a week before regular season. You get a, you know, a nominal fee for being there in the training camp and participating. And he got a signing bonus last year. And think about how much money he's paying Rusty Harden. Rusty Harden is one of the best attorneys in the country, charges a whole lot of money. And I don't know how many months it's been, but he's paying him. And will continue until all those cases are resolved. And I think it's $2.1 million mm-hmm. that it costs you in fines if you miss all the training camp. And the game checks this year, it's not 17 like it's always been. They've moved it over, I think, like 32 weeks
yeah.
that they get paid. And so, but anyway, it's costing him millions. And I'm sure at this point he would like to get out of away from the Texans and out of Houston and start over with his new team as fast as possible and try to put this behind him.
All right, John McClain joins us for his weekly visit. He's presented by HornSolutions.net. About a half hour from now, 8:45, you'll get another chance to put a grand in your hand in our nationwide contest. Up next is John McClain as excited about this particular position group as Nick Caserio seems to be. More with the General next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Here was Nick Caserio on with us earlier this week talking about, the question was about players that were here when he got here that might be better fits for what this coaching staff wants to do than the previous coaching staff. He actually gave us a little nugget at the end of this one.
You know, when you look at the defensive line group, you know, when you take the defensive tackles plus the defensive end, you kind of put those together. I want to say there's like 15 or 16 guys that are on the team. And when you watch those guys work on a daily basis, I mean, really, it was a pretty good group to watch. I mean, the effort was good. The mindset was good. Bobby King did an awesome job during the spring. And those players, they kind of, you know, challenge each other. So I would say that particular group was kind of an interesting one to watch in the spring and will be interesting to watch even further once we get into training camp so we can make the proper evaluation assessment about the right players for our team.
So that's Nick Caserio. He was on with us earlier this week on Monday. You can get that whole interview up on our podcast on the Odyssey app or sportsradio610.com as we welcome John McClain back in, presented by HornSolutions.net. John, do you share Nick Caserio's enthusiasm about some of these guys on the defensive side of the ball in Lovie's system?
Well, I wouldn't say enthusiasm, but I'm glad you brought it up because that's what I wrote about today. They have, since they cut Duke Ejiofor, they have 15 defensive linemen, 8 are new, and of the 8 new ones, 7 are veterans. And if you look back through some of those, there are 5 guys who are making the move from 3-4 outside linebacker to defensive end, including 3 who were with the Texans, Whitney Mercilus, Jonathan Grenard, and Jacob Martin. They've asked Mercilus to lose weight, according to Lovie Smith. They asked Martin to gain weight. He played at 242. Whitney's always listed at 258 for years, so I don't know what he was last year. I kept asking for new up-to-date weights on players, but we never got them. And so considering the significance of the change in the front 7, which is more pronounced than any area of the team, and how important that pass rush is, Lovie Smith hopes to generate it from a 4-man front. If he can, that'd be great for them, but I'd be stunned. And because I still think they're going to need more than 4 based on who they have. But it's fascinating to watch guys make the transition. And it's not like they never played with their hand down. When they went to nickel situations, guys would drop down and put their hand down or rush from a stand-up position. And Whitney said he hadn't done it since his junior year at Illinois. And so it's going to be interesting to watch them, but I'm no less fascinated by the defensive line than I am the offensive line, specifically every starting position other than Laremy Tunsil at left tackle and Justin Britt at center.
And the one guy, too, that I'm intrigued by, just because he's both a Caserio and Easterby guy, is Derek Rivers, defensive end out of New England, who, Sean, I'll remind you, Jack Easterby actually officiated at Derek Rivers' wedding.
Oh, that's right.
So he married Derek Rivers and his wife. So I feel like Derek Rivers is one to watch here, John, that he's got a leg up on perhaps some of the other competition.
Well, he better play better than he's played the rest of his career because he really hadn't done squat.
But he's here.
He's here. There are other guys that at defensive line and linebacker who have played well at times during their career. And a guy I'm fascinated about who's made that transition from outside linebacker defensive ends, Jordan Jenkins, who was with the Jets, a Houstonian. And I think it was Bobby King, the defensive line coach who'd been coaching inside linebackers. He was very complimentary of Jordan Jenkins, who I think is in his 6th season. So you never know when a guy drops down how he's going to do. Just like when they move from defensive line in college to playing outside linebacker in a 3-4, you know they're going to have a difficult transition because they have to be responsible for so many other things besides stopping the run and trying to get the quarterback. They got to worry about coverage. And that bamboozles a lot of them when they do that for the first time. And I'm sure the 3 that were, well, the 4 we talked about, now that they get to drop down, that they don't have to worry about dropping into coverage, that is significant for them.
John, you know, as many ways as they try to emulate the Patriots, or at least it appears that the Texans try to emulate the Patriots, I was kind of surprised that Nick Caserio and Cal McNair went with Lovie Smith as the defensive coordinator, just because Lovie Smith has a much different defensive philosophy. I think that he requires a different type of player than what Bill Belichick does with his defenses. So I guess, were you surprised at all that they chose to go with a Lovie Smith, like a more of a cover two heavy, pass rush heavy personnel grouping type of defense than maybe what they do up in New England?
Well, New England's base defense is a 3-4. They've gone to a 4-3. I think a lot of it was when you got David Culley as a first-time head coach, you need experience on your roster. And bringing in Lovie, who wanted to come back to the NFL after getting fired at Illinois. He's been a head coach twice, longtime defensive coordinator. Cully being a career offensive coach. I think having an experienced, steady hand like him was the reason they wanted him. And considering how pathetic the defense was last year, the second worst in NFL history at forcing turnovers since 1980. And one of the things Levy's defense did in the NFL is they were noted, especially in Chicago, for forcing turnovers. And so I wasn't surprised when they hired him because I think they just wanted a change. And bringing in all these new players, and he has brought in a lot of them, that I think that is kind of like a shot in the arm, considering how bad they were last year at stopping the run and forcing turnovers and getting the quarterback.
Wait, were they second worst in turnovers since 1980, or were they also second worst in some other category in NFL history?
It's forcing turnovers. They were the second fewest in the NFL since 1980.
Well, that's bad.
All right, John, we'll get back to the football talk here in just a second. John McClain is presented by HornSolutions.net. This is actually being reported by Adam Schefter, who is most noted for his work in football, but he is breaking some news in the NBA world right now. We just talked about Chris Paul being put into COVID protocol for the Phoenix Suns, and Chris Paul saying, oh, man, I'm probably thinking, boy, I hope this Jazz-Clippers series goes 7 games in case I need to be in these COVID protocols for a long period of time. Well, I don't know if it's going to go 7 games now, if the Clippers are going to be missing, possibly, Kawhi Leonard for the remainder of the Western Conference semifinals. Adam Schefter tweeting out just moments ago, Kawhi Leonard could miss the remainder of the Western Conference semifinals with a knee injury. So I seem to remember him going down hard in that game this past week in Game 4 that the Clippers were able to win. But that's a significant one. Man, these NBA playoffs have just become a war of attrition. It's like every single team seems to have a guy that is suffering a significant injury right now. So, John, your good friend Adam Schefter's out here. He's hoarding NBA news now also, John.
Well, in his last contract, he got it where he could cover the NBA. Adam loves basketball. He had his daughter involved in some of the telecasts. So I'm not surprised. Usually, you know, Woes breaks all those NBA stories.
Yeah.
But good for Adam.
Yeah, he's kind of wonder if Woj thinks he's kind of treading on his turf right now, you know?
Maybe Woj will break a football story.
Yeah, that's right, a proportional response. Give us something on Deshaun Watson, Woj, please, please. If anybody could, it would be Adrian Wojnarowski for sure. Hey, John, quickly back to the Texans. What was your reaction to the cancellation of mandatory minicamp? And were you surprised about some of the reaction out there from folks who were a little worked up about it?
Way it was explained to me, and I listened by Cully, Ways explained it to everybody, and the way Caserio explained it to you guys on Monday, it made perfect sense that you're mainly teaching, and minicamp is just an extension of the OTAs, that if you made a deal with your players at a time when the union was encouraging players not to be there, the first phase, of course, was a month of conditioning and virtual meetings. The second two phases, 1 week and 3 weeks, was on-field instruction plus virtual meetings for phase 2 and in-person and virtual for phase 3. And you wanted your players to participate in the last 4. So Cully made a deal with the veterans. If they had a great turnout, what they considered a great turnout, and they got accomplished what the coaches wanted, they would ditch the mini camp. So you would have some players for 4 weeks and all but one for 3 days, or you would have almost all your players for 4 weeks and no 3 days. To me, that is a no-brainer because you don't do squat in those mini camps anyway, which is one reason so many teams that they cancel it. And two, Philadelphia and Indy worked that out before the off-season program began with their players. And so I had no issue with it, and I was surprised so many people did, considering you weigh the numbers and the either a lot of time with a lot of players, or you have a little time with a lot of time with little players, or the mini camp. And Bill O'Brien always canceled the third day of the mini camp as a reward to players as well. But remember, At that time, the union was doing everything it could to get players to stay away. And in a lot of areas, places like Tampa, they stayed away in droves and worked out on their own with Tom Brady.
You know, I guess the one – I also didn't think it was that big of a deal because of the context, everything that you just explained and described. Although my one counter argument might be, hey – you just went out and signed a bunch of guys that are on 1 and 2 year deals. Like you've got a roster full of prove it guys right now that if, you know what? You could do the old mandatory voluntary thing where if a guy doesn't show up and he's on a 1 year contract, he doesn't show up to OTAs, then he's probably not the kind of guy that you want on the team moving forward. So I understood what they were doing. I don't think they necessarily had to do it, but if they were being more careful, and trying to be complete about everything, I get that.
John McClain is presented by HornSolutions.net. Has John McClain ever been called a complicated fella, and how would he react if he were? That's next. All right, John McClain is presented by HornSolutions.net. A reminder, in about 7 minutes, we are going to be trying to put a grand in your hand, our nationwide giveaway, $1,000. So be listening for the code word at 8:45 a.m. this morning. So, John, Mark Murphy called Aaron Rodgers in an interview, or I guess it was a private event at Lambeau Field in front of an audience, called Aaron Rodgers a, quote, complicated fella. Have you ever been called a complicated fella, John?
No, I'm pretty simple because I'm so simple-minded. And when I saw that about Murphy saying it to that at that event, some people think if they're not being interviewed by the media, they can say things. Murphy's been around forever. He's 65 years old. He played. He should know anything he says anytime, anywhere is going to get attention. I can't wait till July 26th. That's when the Packers have their annual shareholders meeting. And that's when we know how much money they made last year. And he talks as the president and CEO to all the people. That's going to be one day before Packers are scheduled to report to training camp. So, you know, Rodgers will be a topic of conversation. And a lot of people, when they saw he's a complicated fellow, which is what a reference Ted Thompson had used about Aaron Rodgers, is people took that to mean like difficult or a pain in the butt. And I'm guessing if you're the president of the Packers, this all is difficult and a pain in the butt. But I think Brian Gutekunst, the GM, who supposedly is the target of Rodgers' ire because he didn't get the contract he wanted before the draft, and they're blaming him for cutting a couple of his friends on the team. He's kept quiet. We haven't seen anything from him. And then Matt LaFleur, the head coach, you know, every time he's asked, it's a love fest. So to me, if you're going to say anything about him, it should all be positive about how much you love him and want him and hope he returns.
Yeah, I think complicated. I want to think back to a person that I heard described as complicated / complex by multiple different people, and that's one William O'Brien. A lot of people said Bill O'Brien. When they would talk about him being a complicated person, it wasn't an outright compliment. It was like, boy, there's parts of him where he's just got a heart of gold. And then there's times where that heart of gold just seems to get thrown right into the trash can. I'm racking my brain for a time when I've ever heard somebody called complicated or complex where it wasn't at least partially a criticism. It always basically means, okay, this person's got some really good aspects, but then they've got some contradictions to those good aspects. So, and then the other thing, John, is that in my life, whenever somebody's been described as complicated or complex, those people tend to be the type of people that would take great offense to being called complicated or complex, or even would find a way to be offended by an actual compliment. So I think given the context, it was a really dumb thing for Mark Murphy to say, because he was talking about a complicated individual.
And I think that's a really good example of Bill O'Brien. Yes, Bill was very complicated.
John McClain is presented by HornSolutions.net. John, do you believe Derek Carr that if he's not a Raider, he's going to retire?
Oh, give me a break. And I'm not going to say that's dumb. I mean, that's probably smart of him to say, to let fans out there know how much he loves the Raiders and wants to play for the Raiders. I haven't heard any serious talk about Derek Carr being traded to anybody. They don't have a quarterback, and he actually played pretty well for John Gruden last season. The team faded, and if Gruden, you know, he's got that 10-year contract, and he's making $20 million a year, and the owner loves him. But if he has another losing season, will his seat get hot? Because, you know, he was supposed to be the miracle worker and go out there and have that team in the playoffs. And about three-fourths of the way through the season, people were talking about them being a wild card team, and then they collapsed. So, and Derek Carr was one of the few players that was consistently good. Not great, but good.
John, just back to the Texans for a second. We've heard a lot from David Culley over the last few weeks because of OTAs. What's the biggest thing that we don't know yet about David Culley that you're most anxious to find out as training camp and the season gets here?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Culley because I have a Father's Day column I'm doing about him and his dad, Ulysses Grant Culley, who died at 94 on the third day of the draft. And it is a fascinating story about his dad, his family, and Culley growing up in Sparta, Tennessee, which is 96 miles from Nashville, 98 from Knoxville. And I learned so much about Culley with him talking to dad and researching his dad. Now with Culley is to see, we know a lot about his personality, and I would imagine what this team's going to go and think they're going to be one of, if not the worst.
All right, John, I don't mean to interrupt you. We'll circle back to Coach Culley and the story about his dad. We got to reconnect, John. There, I've got a high tolerance for that, Seth. But you get to like 10 seconds or 15 seconds, and I put myself in the shoes of the audience. You
know? I wonder with Culley too. The big question is, okay, how much input does he have, or how much say does he have over who the actual quarterback is? Like, at some point, is that just Casario's decision, do you suppose, that, okay, now it's time for Davis Mills, or is that going to be a two-way decision?
We'll follow up with that question. Yeah. John, we got John back now, presented by HornSolutions.net. John, go ahead and put a bow on your story about David Culley and his dad. And we've got a sounder coming up here in about 30 or 45 seconds to give away some money here, John. So there you go.
When they're going through their toughest times this season, I would imagine Culley, his personality and his attitude will help them through that. Because he's been an assistant for 27 years, you never know how well a guy's going to coach. And I don't know if this season is a good barometer considering all the changes they've made. But I heard Seth talking about if it's his decision. I would imagine Casario is involved in all personnel decisions. Culley, they get Pep Hamilton and Tim Kelly weighing in on that as well. But the thing is that people want to find out is, can David Culley be a head coach, a real good head coach? And that might be 2 years before we know.
Talking about David Culley and the quarterback decision, I guess – you know, the one big difference with this organization now compared to really the entire time Bill O'Brien was here was with Bill O'Brien, for the longest time, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Rick Smith decides who the final 53 are on the team, but then Bill O'Brien gets to make the decision with who plays and who doesn't play. And it felt at times like the GM and the head coach had equal power. Maybe they were jockeying for control, where now – this feels very much like a GM-driven organization, more so than it has in a long time. Is that fair to say?
Yes, and you're right about Rick controlled the roster, Bill controlled the day roster and who's and all that. That was his deal. As soon as he wanted, because he knew England, he thought that the head coach.
John, your internet connection is still a little wonky.
Can I blame ERCOT for this?
Yeah,
ERCOT.
Let's do that.
They're conserving our bandwidth as part of their power saving structure.
We're gonna get. You know what we'll do, Ben? If we get John back, we'll let him tell us what's in the Chronicle this weekend, and then we'll move on. I just don't want to chop in the middle of a segment again. John's presented by HornSolutions.net. This really does feel like Casario's show. To your point, Seth. You know what I mean?
ERCOT? No, you think Casario's running ERCOT? Oh crap! Bauer's
God, screwed. I hope not.
What if you found out the Texans fired Nick Caserio and hired their director of ERCOT?
Isn't that kind of what they did when they made O'Brien the general manager? Like,
yeah. That's what they're going to do. ERCOT's going to hire Bill O'Brien.
DeAndre Hopkins was the equivalent of the February deep freeze.
Things aren't going so well with ERCOT, so we're just going to go ahead and bring in somebody from another. Who's got the best power grid in the country? Let's just start copying. If the Texans want to copy the Patriots, fine. It's worked out pretty well for the Patriots. All you need is a Tom Brady type to be the coup de grace. Who's got the best power grid, and can we just poach their talent?
We want you to know that we are not Vermont South.
Listen, here in Texas, we don't want to be a part of no stinking grid. Right. We will, however, take your best and brightest. Please, 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 yeah. Give us your actual competent energy people and bring them down here.
They're all moving here. Yep, absolutely. 713-572-4610. Ben, we still hooking up with John? Is that the deal? Okay. All right. Well, when we get John back, we'll bring him back on here.
Could just call on the telephone.
Yeah, that's true. We could just.
We're trying to. We have this connection that's like a super crisp and clear connection that we use. It's internet based, but there is the telephone still.
You know, Seth, you say that, and I'm like, holy crap, there is the telephone. You know what I mean? Yeah, like he could do this. He could call the hotline right now. That's a perfectly valid thing to do.
You know what I've discovered lately, Sean?
Yeah.
I've discovered just the value of actual phone calls. As much as I loved not having to talk to people on the phone, when you're doing something, when you're trying to complete a task, you ever catch yourself after like 10 minutes into a text conversation realizing that, oh, we could have handled this in 45 seconds on the telephone?
Yeah.
I think as much as people are aware of the fact that you got to limit how much time you spend on social media because it's bad for your mental health, I think people also should be more aware of how much time they waste texting.
Mm-hmm.
It really is it's a time suck.
Yeah.
It takes so much longer to have a text conversation. Yes, you get to avoid the actual, you know, the human contact and what have you, or the simulation of the human contact, but still, you're offset by the time.
And you get to answer on your own time frame. Like, if it were a phone call, sometimes the equivalent of what I do would be the equivalent of just sitting there staring at the person and not answering. Like sometimes I look at a text like, okay, well, I'll answer. I got to go do this. I'll answer this in five minutes or 10 minutes or 2 days or whatever.
I've got a standard busy message that I'll like have on a lot of times. It just says, knocking boots, get back to you later.
If this phone's a rockin', don't come a textin'. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Here on Sports Radio 610. I hope John's still alive. Like that's my big takeaway from this. He's texting me that Ben, he says he hasn't gotten a new link from you. You know what? Ben's trying to call him on the hotline right now.
I can't imagine that it's any problem with his internet connection
he's
or anything.
He's not answering. McClain's not answering the phone. He's doing that. He's ghosting us. He's not answering the
phone. I'm not getting any emails. I know my internet is an issue right now with the Opal connection. I'm also not getting any emails.
All right. Well, I'm just going to assume. This is what I'm going to assume is going on in the Chronicle this weekend, because that's what I would normally be asking John to close it out. We got some podcasts up about the Texans. We're going to talk about OTAs. Oh, he has his column about David Culley's dad, Ulysses Grant Culley.
There's an argument. There's an article this morning that I read, which is very good, talking about how the new defense could affect and be an opportunity for several of the existing Texans players: Jonathan Grenard, Jacob Martin, and Whitney Merciless.
Okay,
which is all very true. So that is something to watch during training camp this year.
Okay, hang on. We're gonna go to the hotline now. This is like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Texts, Opal, and hotline.
I still blame ERCOT.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay, John. We've only got like a minute left. We just played Guess What's in the Chronicle this weekend, but we'll let you see how much we got right. John, we got about a minute. You're presented by HornSolutions.net. What is going on in the Chronicle this weekend?
Well, I'm glad you guys asked, because as I talked about earlier, I've got that story coming with David Culley and his dad, which is just fascinating. It should be one of the best I've ever done, not because of me, but because of Culley and his family, and wrote it today. About what you guys were talking about earlier, about the defensive line and all the changes being made. And we got podcasts, TV segments, and I appreciate you guys having me. I'm sorry about the disconnect, but I hope you guys have a great rest of the day, and thank you very much.
John, thank you as always. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week. John McClain, presented by HornSolutions.net. All right, we head into the 9 o'clock hour. Someone texted in, I feel like Sean is sabotaging the Hall of Famer, John McClain. I would never, ever sabotage John McClain. No, I would not. Exactly. That's you, Texter. All right. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. The Astros had a moment last night. Probably one of the best regular season moments you can experience for so many reasons. We will relive the magic next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.